Welcome, my fellow Americans, to the Killer Bee presidential debate today. I will be moderating this great debate between the candidates, one Mr. Jeremy Branham and his opponent, Mr. Joel Blank. Together, we will ask the tough, fair questions to determine which man is the best to lead this great city into the generations that are here to come. Gentlemen, we will have decorum in this debate, and as such, I will be moderating and keeping track of your time. When I ask you a question, please don't interrupt your fellow candidate here. You'll have 1 minute for your response, and then I will give 30 seconds to your opponent for a rebuttal, and I will cut off your microphones if you exceed that time. Now, we flip the coin before the show, and the coin dictates that Joel Blank, you will go first, receiving the tough questions.
Age
here.
Before beauty.
Well, the coin decided.
Hey, that wasn't called for. Shut up.
Mr. Joel, you sound Southern right now. All right. Candidate Joel, question number one. Candidate Joel, under the watch of Astros owner Jim Crane, the good jobs of successful workers like James Click were lost in favor of handing out favors to his cronies like Jeff Bagwell. What is your plan to drain the swamp and return integrity back to the Astros hiring process? 1 minute, Mr. Blank.
I inherited a situation that was very unideal. And what I did was I was able to use every bit of my knowledge to be able to do the things we needed to do so that we could stay on the straight and narrow and build up from what this guy did. And did I mention that we got more jobs at Minute Maid Park? We did a lot of things that did a lot of good for the city of Houston, and then it was the sign of good leadership because this guy screwed it all up. And then on top of that, I mean, I need to talk about the fact that, you know, we kept it clean. We didn't have to go sleep with porn stars. We didn't have to do the kind of things that bad leaders do. I was able to lead by example and
what's that?
And do what we needed to do to be successful as a baseball team.
All right, time. You hit it right on. Thank you, sir. You hit it right on the dot. That was 1 minute.
That's what I do by the book.
Your time is up. Candidate Blank, your time is up. Mr. Branham, would you like 30 seconds for a rebuttal?
I would. I'm not sure what he said. I don't think he knows either. The first thing that you would have to do is you need to bring back Jeff Luhnow. James Click, he got let go. A good man that brought you a World Series, and Jim Crane should have never done that either. Jim Crane has let go two great general managers. General managers that have led this organization to a World Series. He should have had a backbone whenever Robert Manfred stood up to him with the whole sign-stealing thing. We should have seen an owner with a backbone that never got rid of Jeff Luhnow.
That is time, Mr. Branham. Sorry, that is 30 seconds. We are holding to our debate format. That is all your time for this question. But the next question does go to you, Mr. Branham. Candidate Jeremy, you once called
Candidate
the drafting...
Branham.
Would you prefer Branham?
I would.
Okay.
Why?
No,
why,
no,
why
your did, time, why, your time, why, Mr. Blank, is over. You'll to, wait for to, the next one. Thank you. Candidate Branham. Decorum, Mr. Blank. Candidate Branham. You once called the drafting of C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson the worst day in Texans history. How can you win back the trust of our dear listeners, busy with their own lives, raising kids, working honest jobs, just needing their sports host they trust, to give them the truth? 1 minute, sir.
Well, that is a quote that has been taken out of context, and it's a quote that's inaccurate. I did not say this will be the worst day in Texans history. I said this would be a day that could live in infamy in Houston Texans history. The producer that day, which happened to be you, Mr. Moderator, cut me off before I could say for the rest of the NFL. I said this could be a day that lives in infamy for the rest of the NFL, but you couldn't hear that on the air because I was cut off by a producer, much like I've been cut off by you again today in our debate. It's terrible because we don't get the real story of what is being said whenever our mics are silenced, whenever we're shut up, whenever people tell us to stop talking, we have to stop talking, and the truth doesn't come out. So the quote that you said is inaccurate. You're doing a terrible job as a moderator. A good, decent moderator would have the actual quote. So I put a lot of blame on you, like a lot of his followers that misquote me time and time again.
That is time. I've given you the floor here. I appreciate your candor and your honesty here, but I feel like the attacks are unwarranted. We will now go to Mr. Blank for your 30-second rebuttal.
He's a liar. He told everybody then, and he'll tell them now, that it was such a bad move that they should go out in traffic and start breaking windows on cars and taking the Texan stuff off and out of the cars and getting rid of it, causing a whole bunch of riots and problems, because that's what he does, because he's a pot stirrer. And the fact is that it caused a lot of people to be in a lot of danger because we talked about the border and the fact that we know that we got to make sure that we regulate things, but he went out in traffic.
That is time. That is time. Mr. Blank, we are holding you to the 30 seconds. Mr. Branham stayed on time. I would ask you to stay on time as well, Mr. Blank. But the next question goes to you. Candidate Blank.
He's a liar.
Sir, we are moving on to the next question. You will have your time here. Candidate Branham, I'm all flustered now.
There's a beep in my ear.
Candidate Blank. On Tuesday, June 19th, you told us the Astros season was over, they were snake-bitten, and wouldn't make the playoffs. Less than a week later, you flip-flopped and told us the Astros were back. How can voters support your platform, sir, if you don't even know what that platform is? 1 minute.
Because I'm a man of the people. I'm a man of the people, and I believe in what I believe at the time that I believe it. And if I believe something different later, then I'm going to tell you what I believe for the sake of the people. I believed back then that our fans were in danger, and I was going to do whatever it takes to protect them. And then when I realized that because of my staff, because of the great things we were able to do, that we could resurrect the bad from the good to make it good again, then I believed that it was the right direction for our people to take, and that's the only way I'm going to lead. I'm going to lead them into the positive and stay away from the negative, and that's what we did just from me personally, but then what I said was the border is this thing that I was never completely sold, but I'm going to focus on that too. But overall, we did what we were supposed to do for the benefit of the people and nobody else. And I'm the only one that does it. He's a liar. He doesn't want to do what we want to do, which is do things ethically and morally and lead the people into positives, not negatives.
That is time, Mr. Blank. And I believe the question was about the Astros season, not the border. But I thank you for your candid and your honesty there. Well, honesty, maybe a loose definition there. All right, candidate Branham, your 30-second rebuttal, sir.
Yeah, my opponent's bordering on insanity. I'd like to go back to the Texans question. It was Mr. Blank that was the real one that did not like the Will Anderson trade. He went on for weeks about how a terrible trade it was. I think he still talks about it to this day, about how he'd rather have Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta. He didn't like the Stephon Diggs trade either. As far as the Astros and the waffling, can we please cut off his mic? The Astros being back? Again, how could you trust a host in the city that quits the talent of one Houston Astros? Mr. Blank says stay positive. Mr. Blank says stay positive? When is Mr. Blank positive at any point? You should have never quit on the Astros, and if you're a host in this city, it is blasphemy that you did.
Thank you, Mr. Branham. Okay, the next question goes to you, Mr. Branham. Mr. Blank, again, I ask you to not talk over Mr. Branham's time. He gave you yours. Please respect his time. Candidate Branham. People who have worked with you and your opponent in the past have labeled you guys the angry bees. How can voters be sure you have the right temperament for the office? And why would your hand leading the city be more steady and calming than your opponent's? 1 minute, Mr. Branham.
People say that angry bees moniker as it's a negative connotation. In what way is that a negative connotation? Anger is a feeling. Anger is an emotion. And I would say that when you're listening to sports radio, any city, when you're listening to sports radio, you want your host to have emotion. You want them to have attitude. You want them to have passion for your sport teams. I hear the moniker Angry Bees, and my candidate gets upset by that. He's positively upset by that on a daily basis. I hear that. I take it as a compliment, because I'm a glass half full, not a glass half empty kind of sports talk host in the city of Houston. I hear angry bees, and I hear compliments left and right. I hear that's a host with passion. That's a host that loves his sports teams. That's a host that is willing to tell you the truth about the Astros. That's willing to tell you the truth that Jose Abreu is robbing money. That's willing to tell you truth that an owner has given too much power to a former Astro icon. That is willing to tell you that Cal McNair is a buffoon and sounds a little
That is your time, Mr. Branham. Mr. Branham, that is your time. That
come
is your
on,
time.
Man. What are we doing here?
Mr. Blake, I know. My apologies. It is now your floor, sir. You have 30 seconds. Go ahead and proceed with your rebuttal.
He wants to say what he thinks is his way all the time. He just got done saying I'm positive, then I'm negative, then I'm negative, then I'm positive. Come on, man. Make up your mind. I mean, I'm a man of the people. I'm trying to do the right things for the people, but you're going to tell me I'm positive, and then you're going to tell me I'm negative, and then you're going to, I don't break the law. I mean, you're going to sit there and tell me all these things. You'd be willing to break the law to be successful. I'm trying to do the things the right way for the people, whether it's positive or negative. At the end of the day, we're all going to come together as a nation to be better because of it.
Right on time. Thank you, Mr. Blake. What I'm not sure what point you got to there, but it was right on time, and I appreciate your promptness. We have one more question for each candidate, and again, 60 seconds for your response and 30 seconds for your rebuttal. Candidate Branham. This question goes to Candidate Blake.
Some job the moderator's doing.
That is
wrong. Sad.
Come on, man. Are we got control of this?
Respect the position, Mr. Branham.
My knees are going.
All right. Candidate Blank. Many voters are worried that where your allegiances may lay, that maybe some love for the green and gold could be bleeding through into your takes about how tough the Texans schedule is. Right now, once and for all, Mr. Blank, please let our fellow Houstonians know where your rooting interest will be when the Texans face the Packers.
No one cares about the Packers. Mr. Blank, I never said that you were positive.
Mr. Branham, Blank, the floor is yours.
I mean, here's the thing. For as long as I've been doing this, and everybody knows it's been at least 150 years, my allegiance has always been to the red, white, and blue. I've always been a man that bleeds with the red and the white and the blue of this country, and I believe the same way with my teams. I know that what needs to be right now is unification, and everybody needs to come together to realize for the benefit of all of us and the beauty of this great city, we want to come together to support our football team, our favorite team, the Houston Texans. And I know the fact that, you know, we've got just the same kind of straight-laced, very, very shrewd and analytically driven ownership of the team, just like you have with me as president, with organized thoughts and abilities to make sure that everybody knows that I'm a man of the people. And no matter if we put a border around the practice field, or we make sure that there's burgers and fries on everybody's table that maybe or maybe you're not, I had something to do with, that we're a unified people.
That is your 1 minute. Again, for those just tuning in, that was a question about would he root for the Packers, and somehow the border came up. Mr. Branham, your 30-second rebuttal, sir.
It's hard to keep up with the lies and the terrible, terrible things that my opponent is talking about. When it comes to hamburgers and cheese, I created those things. I created those things in my previous term, and I am the one who puts them on everybody's plate. As far as the question goes about the allegiances to teams in this state and teams in other states, Mr. Blank does not miss an opportunity to talk about America's Dairyland and how he's from America's Dairyland. How can you trust a Dairyland American in our great city and in our great state, the Lone Star State?
Thank you, Mr. Branham. We will have to fact-check your claim that you created cheeseburgers, but I thank you for keeping it on time there. Final question of tonight's debate goes to Candidate Branham. Candidate Branham, your opponent has a strong track record and background with the Houston Rockets, causing some voters to question your own basketball credentials. What is your plan to end years of mediocrity and turmoil with our beloved Houston Rockets and get them back to the glory days of the 1990s?
Well, I think we should put all of our trust in the general manager, Rafael Stone, and all of the trust in the head coach, Ime Udoka, and all trust in the greatest owner of the NBA, and one Tillman Fertitta. They have a trio of powerful men that will bring dominance back to the Houston Rockets. They're trending in the right way. Look how many wins they improved last year versus the year before. They've added IRS, Isaiah Reed Shepherd, who's going to be a knockdown sharp shooter from downtown. So I love the direction that they're going in. My plan is to get out of the way. Sometimes the best managers are ones that don't micromanage, that sit back and let the smart people in the room do all the great things. But one person does have to bring all the smart people into the room, and I created smart people. So there is that aspect of it, that I was the one who was able to bring all the smart people together. And as a sports host in this city, I will always bring smart people into the equation. You're moderating today. Our next moderator is going to be smarter than you are. I'm willing to fire people. Mr. Blank over here is never willing to fire anybody. And that's why we're...
Okay, all right. That is your time. That is your time, Mr. Brand. The shots at my character, I don't feel were warranted, but we will now have to move on for time's sake to Mr. Blank, your 30-second rebuttal, sir.
How are we going to believe that this guy over here at any time in his existence is going to get out of the way? How are we going to believe for any one moment of moments when you put moments together to make more moments, how are we going to believe that this is a guy that's going to let others do what he thinks when he thinks he knows it all? I'm a man of democracy. I'm a man for the entire political career. I brought everybody together, and I've been the one that's brought everybody to where we need to go.
I don't think that I know it all. I know that I know it all.
Have we talked about the border yet either, and the fact that, you know what, this guy?
That is the end of the bait. I have to cut both mics. I even cut my own. It was such a chaos there at the end. All right, that is the debate. They debate, you decide. Hit us up on the text line who you thought won that debate.
Oh, it's a no-brainer. 713-780-ESPN. Branham or Blank, milk. Who are you voting for in 2024? We know what you should be voting to do tomorrow. That's to go to the Sabercat match. It's the final Sabercat match of the season. Brian Cheatin's going to be out there. Drink specials before the game. It's going to be a party for the regular season finale. Also, it's the Texas Showdown. That's one thing we can all agree on, right? Beating up on Dallas. Sabercats and the Jackals tomorrow, 7 o'clock start. Gates open at 6 p.m., Fan Appreciation Night, tons of giveaways for you, the fan, to honor you, the fan, for what has been an incredible season. Sabercats, of course, have already punched their ticket to the playoffs, have clinched home field advantage in the playoffs, so send them out strong in the regular season as they get ready for that. Also, in addition to all the fun that's going to be held out there, more fun to come with Mascot Scratch. It's Scratch's birthday party. We'll decorate the night, have appearances from Houston area mascots joining in on all the fun, too. The kids always love that, so be there for Scratch's birthday party, and then stick around. Post-match fireworks and meet the players on the pitch in our post-match show, social. Go to HoustonSabercats.com. Use promo code ESPN20 to receive 20% off your tickets. Last regular season game of the year before the Sabercats head to the playoffs. If you can't make it out, they are airing their first ever local live broadcast on CW39, so check it out there if you can't make it out to Sabercats Stadium tomorrow. But get out there. Scratch's birthday, pregame drink specials, post-match fireworks. Kids will have a great time. You'll have a great time, and you get 20% off your tickets when you use promo code ESPN20 at HoustonSabercats.com/tickets. Leo gives the dub to me. Leo on YouTube gives the dub to Branham. 6036 campaign manager Johnny G has done wonders for Mr. Blank. He's also a man of the people. He gets my vote. What has Granato done to your campaign, Blankers?
Supported it.
Okay, that's good.
A lot of different ways. I can't mention.
Oh, throw this man in jail.
Hey, no, I got some people, and he's got people.
The best part of it, well, there's a lot of good parts of the debate yesterday. It was high entertainment. But there's only one convicted felon on this stage.
And then the immediate response.
Then Trump goes, I'm not sure what he said. I'm not even sure he knows what he said.
It was professional wrestling last night.
It was high entertainment.
Yeah.
Sometimes sad, but high level of entertainment.
Who knew Biden was a golfer? I would look at him and say, the man can't play golf.
No. Yeah, I if they were to...
Especially not at age 81.
I would watch a round of golf between them two. Like, they should do the TNT, the match between them two, and my money would be on Trump. He's a better golfer at this stage in life. 0188, Branham's an angry bee. He blocks listeners on Twitch channel in the middle of a discussion. That's not true. I don't block people. I time out people, and then I timed... I'm pretty sure this is Dre. I timed you out because you were... crawfishing on a bet. You didn't want to accept or deny the bet, so that's why. 1953 says we all lost after that. Vote here for use 3367. Got to go with Blank. Why? Because it was so dumb and erratic, it sounded smart. So there you go.
You guys said I'd do that daily.
0315.
It was like
you
tie. Did a good impression then.
Yeah. Both did better than those clowns last night. And then, all right, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. A couple of Astro notes. 10-game roadie starts tonight, by the way. They take on the Mets, Apple TV. Heidi Watney said she was going to give us all a free trial. I quote tweeted that, so if you're looking for a place to get some Apple TV, quote tweeted that. Just get to Heidi's tweet, and you can get a free trial to Apple TV. But some updates from Brian McTaggart about the Strohs and a couple of injuries. Go Cougs, by the way. Tucker took 35 swings in the cage. They look more clean and more fluid, says Espada. He also ran on the treadmill again, so I guess that's good news. Trending upwards. Doesn't seem like he's close to playing ball, though. No on-field activities.
And then the other question I have is, what kind of guard will he be wearing and how limiting, because of the fact that hitting, if he gets hit again on the same spot, he's going to quickly revert back to where he was, I would assume. So that shin guard that didn't get protected the first two times, he's got to have one hell of a pad on that right below the knee.
It was kind of high up on the shin, yeah. Like just under the knee. I bet you he doesn't wear anything. I bet you he just goes for it.
I don't think so. I don't think you can risk that.
I don't know. I've never seen a pad that goes all the way to the knee.
Or just make one
other than a catcher wears.
You know, kind of like Bagwell had on his hand.
Yeah.
Maybe have one that just gets between the right below the knee to right before the calf.
I've never seen one like that for a hitter.
I think that's why they construct these things on the fly based on the injury.
Yeah. And then Verlander is feeling a lot better and close to perhaps playing catch. So Tucker's getting closer to on-field activities. And then Justin Verlander is feeling better and getting close to playing, having a catch with a teammate.
And Bloss was a guy that looked like his shoulder might fall off, and yet he already has played catch.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I don't know if that's comforting or not. John Singleton, not in the lineup today. We've had this conversation. We've talked about this. People have discussed it. Is it time to DFA John Singleton? Is it time to move on?
You know, when I think about that, the first thing I'm thinking about is the predicament that they're in. You know, you have options at first base, but, you know, what are you truly trying? You know, what are you trying to do? Do you need Dubon to be your utility guy and you need someone else at first base? Otherwise, is he hurting you? The fact that he's got a decent eye at the plate, he has pop, the fact that you can use him as a pinch hitter from time to time, but nothing says you have to do a true platoon between him and Dubon. Unless you feel like Cabbage, both offensively and defensively, are better than Singleton, and Lil Profito is actually going to get a chance to play first base at this time, then I don't think you have to do anything right now except what you're doing. Give Dubon the majority of the starts. Give Dubon the majority of the opportunities. If you give Singleton an opportunity here or there, then maybe you can basically draw a conclusion based on how he performs when you do still put him in the lineup. And then make the decision when you have to kind of juggle your lineup around, when you get a healthy Caratini and you get Tucker back and you're looking to still probably put your best lineup out there every single day and your best roster, is there a move to be made so that you can have, say, you know, Loprofito or Cabbage be the other guy at first base because you want someone different on the end of your bench?
Two moves away for me, for him to be DFA'd. I would DFA him in two moves. The first one, Tucker's going to come back, and he's going to take He's going to take Cooper Hummel's spot on the roster. So when Tucker comes back, Hummel goes down. Caratini doesn't really factor into the equation for me because Caratini or Salazar will be your backup catcher. That doesn't really influence John Singleton. But if you were to either trade for somebody, let's say the Astros traded for first baseman X, okay, well, John Singleton's days are done. I'd rather have Trey Cabbage on this team than John Singleton. Cabbage gives you positional flexibility, can play, I think, any outfield spot, probably more of a corner outfielder. He's capable of playing first base. He's faster, so it gives you some options off the bench late in the game. And I think he's a slightly better hitter than John Singleton. Singleton's hitting .224. He's got a .651 OPS. His OPS plus, where average is 100, is 88. He's doing that as a first baseman. That is not big league worthy. So two moves away. The second move, like the first move's Tucker, Hummel down. The second move is a trade for an offensive player, and then Singleton's gone. Now, if that doesn't happen, okay, well then what is another move that could, where John Singleton gets DFA'd? I think it's possible that they could go with the utility infield route. If they don't trade for a first baseman, Mauricio Dubon's clearly a better offensive player than John Singleton. They're going to play Mauricio Dubon at first base most days. If you're playing Mauricio Dubon at first base because he's run away with the job, then you probably need to call up another infielder that can take off a little bit of the stress of not having a backup infielder on the roster because your utility guy has now beaten out everybody else to be your everyday first baseman. So I could see a scenario if post-trade deadline, the Astros don't trade for an offensive bat, because if they trade for an offensive bat, Singleton's gone, because I think Cabbage deserves to be on the team over Singleton. If they don't trade for a bat before the deadline, and Dubon runs away with the first base job, like he is your first baseman, John Singleton's not platooning, John Singleton's not getting reps there because Dubon's just far superior offensively, which he is, should already be there, then I could see them calling up an infielder, whether it's, you know, just Kessinger as an emergency, or You could go with Shea Whitcomb, who actually has a better OPS in AAA than Joey Loprofito did, and then Singleton could get DFA'd that way. So two moves away. They're not really imminent. Like, Singleton has a few weeks here to, like, keep his job, but I do think that via trade, somebody else, Singleton's gone. If there's not a trade before the deadline, post-deadline, I could see Espada wanting an infielder because he's playing Dubon at first base mostly every day.
Yeah, and I think the infield position is one that you definitely – that's a valid point that they need to do something better or have the options available to them. And I think that, quite honestly, if Joey Loprofito continues to hit, we know he can play first base. Everybody we talk to, both when we go to Sugar Land and otherwise, says it's not – there isn't a problem with him being able to play the position. And he's played it in college, and he's played it for the Space Cowboys. If you just feel like he is a better offensive option than John Singleton, then you have options depending on what you want to do, whether you make a move or not, to at some point just say, hey, look, Singleton doesn't he's so erratic with when he's going to give you some power. And you know, with the numbers that you're talking about, if Joey Loprofito is hitting for a better average and he's doing the kind of things that the OPS and everything else is telling you he's a better hitter and a better player than John Singleton, then to make your overall team better, whether you make another move or not, you should put Joey Loprofito in the rotation of being able to catch some at-bats at first base and move on to add a better player to your roster and just say, John, thanks for the memories.
The only way that, like, Loprofito makes sense at first base, though, is if Chaz McCormick comes along. Because True. If Chaz McCormick continues to be poor and not very good, well, then Joey Loprofito is just going to play left field all the time. Mm-hmm. So for that to be an option, for that to be like a something that realistically, like, a spot it could do with the lineup, is that Chaz McCormick's going to have to press Loprofito for playing time. Chaz McCormick's going to have to press Mauricio Dubon, you know, because Chaz McCormick, if he's trying to get into the lineup, he needs to be better than either Joey Loprofito or Mauricio Dubon. And then the path for Loprofito getting at bats at first base is Chaz McCormick's outperforming Mauricio Dubon, and they need to get him out in the outfield. So he needs to produce. And I think Chaz knows that. I think Chaz realizes that while Tucker is away, he's getting an opportunity here to showcase, okay, I'm worthy of getting those starts in left field, and let's slide Joey Loprofito to get some first base starts. But until Chaz proves that, there's really no sense to move Loprofito to first.
Unfortunately, the problem is Chaz does know it, and he's pressing because of it. Because every time he makes an out, you see him in the emotions and the mini tantrums and everything else, yeah, because he knows that he's not performing like he was a year ago, and his team needs him to perform better right now with the situation they got with Tucker, and it ain't happening except for the two home runs that he had.
Yeah, I think he's been a little bit better as of late, but you can see the pressing. That's not debatable. Astros 10-game roadie starts tonight. What do you want to see?
I mean, I want to see him continue to win series first and foremost. I want to see. I think you have an advantage in two of the three games from a pitching perspective. I like where they're going from the pitching perspective. If the offense keeps rolling, you know, you win the series against the Mets, you're going to probably catch the Twins without Carlos Correa. So hopefully that's an advantage for you as well. But that's a team that is in the standings, a team that you need to chase and you need to beat. So, I mean, from the road trip perspective of the 10 games, I want the only thing acceptable to me is 500 or better. But if you continue to win the series, then I would expect them to go 7-3.
Yeah, I'm okay with I want winning road trips, so I'm okay with 6-4. You go 6-4 in these 10 games, cool. Come back home with a winning record on the roadie. Road trips are not easy. The Mets are playing much, much better. The Twins are a playoff team at the season we're in today. I'd be happy with 6 out of 10 wins.
Yeah, I think the least acceptable would be 5-5. And if you can at least get a winning record on the road trip, then that means you won two of the three series probably. Mm-hmm. Then you've done better than most in terms of going out on the road and holding your own.
And Blue Jays have not been good, but Canada, kind of a weird trip.
Handing it to the Yankees, though.
Yeah, their offense coming alive a little bit. So, hey, six wins.
Springer had two bombs
and
eight ribbies in his first two at-bats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he had two bombs in his first two at-bats, six ribbies. I think he finished with eight ribbies in the game.
Springer terrorizing the Yankees. Love to see that. Little double-dong Springer. Two Springer dingers. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Is he a Met or is he a
member of the New York Metropolitan Opera?
Oh, my goodness. Todd Callis might know. All right, that's coming up next. Mets or a member of the New York Opera? Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's that time of year. You're wasting your valuable time dealing with your yard. You want to go home today. You want to watch the Astros. You might have to sneak in a yard mowing to get it prepped for the weekend. Doesn't that sound annoying? Doesn't that sound like something you don't want to do? Of course it does. You wouldn't have to do that with Sinlawn. Sinlawn, artificial grass, never looked more natural. And it's perfect 365 days of the year. And you never have to mow it. You come home, you watch the game whenever you want to. You're wasting your valuable time. And your yard's not looking good, quite frankly. You got the weeds, you got the dead spots, you got all of that, and it looks terrible. It doesn't look good. Sinlawn is here so you can get those weekends back. The evolution story of the AstroTurf. That was made popular by the Astrodome. And now Sinlawn, S-Y-N, Sinlawn, wants to improve your lifestyle. Stop mowing. You don't want to. Stop pulling the weeds. It aches your back at this stage of your life. Stop throwing money into an ugly yard that, quite frankly, you're embarrassed of people seeing anyways. You got 4th of July plans coming up. They ain't happening at your house because your yard's ugly. Sinlawn artificial grass is the best in the market. Why? Well, Sinlawn will control the process from yard to yard. Get them out to the house. They're going to give you a free estimate, free consultation. It's going to take 30 minutes of your time. You have no idea. You know the price? Well, get them out there. They'll tell you the price before they even leave. It's the highest quality job, and they have the resources to get it done quickly. Quality top shelf products that are made in the US of A, fully insured, fully bonded. Sinlawn has their own in-house crews. They don't contract out a single thing, and they put their money where their mouth's at with their lifetime warranty. Sinlawn's perfect for your yard, whether it's the patio, kids' playground, your pets. They're not going to track mud inside anymore. The putting green you've always wanted. Head to 975sinlawn.com to learn more. 975sinlawn.com to get started on that yard of your dreams. Get them out to your house this week. Sinlawn, artificial grass never looked more natural. Blank Branham Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Time to play. Is he a Met or is he a
member of the New York Metropolitan Opera?
Can we just say New York Opera?
Sure. I was going for the New York Metropolitans.
Oh, I see.
New York Metropolitan
Opera.
Went over
my head.
Yeah. So that was what I was going for there.
Oh, you're playing the music.
And they perform at the Met? Therefore, the Met Gala?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I haven't done a whole lot of New York opera research, Joel. I'll be honest here.
Are these where the three tenors sing?
Well, some of the answers to this are tenors. Some of the answers to these are tenors. I don't know if they're the tenors.
You remember the Seinfeld episode?
I do. Yes.
Yeah. He mistakenly was accused of taking the coat.
That's true.
From one of the tenors, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't Elaine dating one of the tenors, time. Maybe?
Yeah.
I vaguely remember these things.
Yeah, I vaguely remember them as well. All right. New York Metropolitan player or a member of the New York Metropolitan Opera? Number one, this will go to Joel will lead off here.
I like this music.
Thank you. I didn't write it, but yeah.
I appreciate the finer things in life. It makes me feel cultured. Blinkers, get cultured.
Yeah.
Get cultured.
I know.
I need some vino. I need to hold it at the base.
On the way by for a break. It's like, really? Opera? It's like, come on, Joel. Let's get cultured.
I feel like I need to put on a suit and have a glass of $300 red wine.
You got to hold that wine glass a certain way, too, if you're going to be cultured. All right. First one. And I'm going to even have trouble pronouncing this one. Roberto Alagna. And I'll spell it for you. Last name, Alagna. Joel, is that a member of the New York Metropolitans or a member of the New York Metropolitan Opera?
I'm going to go opera.
Yeah.
Jeremy?
This guy sounds like he's got a lot of tenor in his voice. I'm going to say that he is an opera man as well.
That is correct. Oh. And he actually is a tenor with the New York Metropolitan Opera.
His name gave it away.
Because you're cultured.
Yeah, I'm cultured.
Yeah, of course.
I've heard of it. I listened to him on my ride in.
Yeah, obviously. All right, number two, Josh. Who's Josh? Jeremy will lead off here.
You used to work here,
yeah. R.I.P.
For free.
Josh Blue, is that a member of the New York Metropolitans or the Metropolitan Opera of New York?
Can you spell blue?
Just like the color, B-L-U-E.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Josh Blue is the person I'm asking about right now.
Did he blow the game?
Oh, there's the who said it face.
I've never heard of him. He's either a relief pitcher or an opera man. I'll go opera man.
Joel?
I'm also going to say opera.
That is correct. He is a tenor in the Magic Flutes that played at the New York Opera. Obviously, you guys
Magic
knew
Flutes.
That.
That's you an guys, unfortunate
you
name.
That. You guys knew that, obviously. All right, Joel leading off here for number three. You're both 2-0. Scott Connor. Is that a member of the New York Metropolitan Opera or a New York Metropolitan player?
Is it my? It's my turn.
Yeah, Scott Connor.
Sounds like a baseball player. Therefore, it's going to be an opera singer.
And my rule on this is if I've never heard the guy, I go with the other thing. So I'm going to say he's a Jose Opperman.
He is a member of the New York City Opera. Yeah, he is a bass for a show called La Boheme. I don't know.
What was his name?
Scott Connor.
Scott Connor's a bass?
He's
a
bass.
I always thought Connors were more of a tenor.
Commentary is that of Jeremy Branham. All right, number four. You guys are both 3-0. Luis Torrens. Is this a New York City Metropolitan player or New York City Metropolitan Opera
performer? Can you spell Torrens?
Sure. I mean, it might be Torrens, but it's T-O-R-R-E-N-S.
I think you might be tricking us. But I'm going to go with our first New York Met.
Joel?
I'm going to go opera singer as well.
Jeremy is now up. It is a backup catcher for the New York Mets.
Oh,
He's a backup catcher there. All right, question number five. Joel leading off. Jeremy is up by one. Sean Reed Foley. Is this a New York Metropolitan's player or a member of the New York Metropolitan Opera? Sean Reed Foley.
I'm going to say opera singer.
This is Mrs. Foley's baby boy?
No, not that Mrs. Foley.
I think I've heard of this name. So, rule of thumb, New York Met.
Jeremy is correct. That is a Mets relief pitcher.
Relief pitcher?
Yeah, he's a relief pitcher.
He played.
Yeah. I suck at this game.
Mrs. Foley's baby boy.
So, Jeremy.
Oh, mother!
I've never heard him referred to as Sean Reed Foley. I always thought it was just Sean Foley, so that kind of threw me off a little bit.
That's what he was listed at on the depth chart page I saw.
Is that his first name?
Sean's first name, and then Reed Foley.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Reed Foley.
You think that's on the back of his uniform?
Yes.
It's on the back of his baseball card.
Oh,
yeah, I did see.
You know, the back of his baseball card.
I did see a photo where it said Reed/Foley.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, so.
Interesting.
All right, question number six. This will be Jeremy leading off, up by two. Rafael Davila. Is this a New York Metropolitan player or a member of the opera?
I've never heard of this gentleman, so I will go with a Jose Opperman.
Joel?
I have no chance to win.
Yeah, you don't.
So
you're going to play the game and go opposite?
I also think it's an opera singer, but I will say New York Met because I need to have a chance.
Jeremy has increased his lead. That is a member of the New York City Opera. He is a tenor for Carmen, for the show Carmen.
I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah, all right. So last one.
I think I've got them all right.
You have. All right. Question number seven. Joel leads off here. Ryan McKinney. Is that a New York Metropolitan player or a member of the New York Metropolitan Opera?
Opera singer. I might as well finish not so strong. Yeah, keep going with what I was going with.
I think you might be right here. This is for the perfect game. There's two outs in the ninth, 27th man up. I'm going to go Jose Opperman.
That is a member of the New York Metropolitan Opera. He is a baritone in a show called Dead Man Walking.
That sounds interesting.
Perfect game for Jeremy Branham. Good job.
When we play this game, that's what I am.
Who's this? Who is this guy? Like this the actual singing right now? What's your song you're playing?
I just searched opera, like opera music, and it came up. A video came up called "Best of Opera," so it's very generic. I have no idea where it's from.
Like, I don't think so.
I thought it was a female singing.
I did think it was a female singing as well. At least at one point, I wasn't fully listening the entire time though.
Like that makes me want to pull up next to a fire and sit back on my chair. With a nice glass of red wine and read a book. Read a book.
Or maybe a glass of Gentle Ben?
No, Gentle Ben's like, I don't think Gentle Ben suits for that kind of music, honestly.
Okay.
Like, I'm being dead serious, I don't think that's like the demographic for Gentle Ben. I really don't.
Is red wine with opera?
I would say so, yeah. It's very, very cultured.
Champagne?
Yeah. Gentle Ben is very cultured, but I think that's more of a red wine community. Gentle Ben's for the 99.9% of the rest of the population.
Would champagne be in the mix there?
Maybe. Champagne's
more celebration.
Celebratory.
Cognac?
I think cognac's too much of a good time.
Is it? Jazz?
I think so, yeah.
But you're sipping it.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think cognac and opera go. Like cognac you hear in like rap songs. Like yeah. I don't think cognac goes to the opera community.
The most opportune drink for like by the fire. In a cozy situation,
I don't know.
It depends on how you party, Joel.
Yeah. You're right.
It's true. It's been how you party. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day this week. All the car wrecks of the day on Friday. All the mean things you say to us. And there's still time. 713-780-ESPN. You've been holding that mean thing. You've had the text typed out, but you're like, I don't want to be too mean to the bees. Now's your chance to press send. Final chance of the week. 713-780-3776. It's the bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word coming up for the weekend with lots of sports on television and opportunities for you to keep an eye on all kinds of games. There's so many ways you can cash in as well with mybookie.ag. You could be betting on sports or you could be playing in their live casino. With the spare time of the weekend, it's a great time to get on mybookie.ag. You can bet on football futures like the Texans winning over or under 9.5. Or you can bet on all the soccer games all over the world. Baseball games, UFC coming up this weekend, golf, tennis. You can even bet on the WNBA. Take watching sports up a notch with a little wager on the games thanks to mybookie.ag. And do what we always tell you to do. Remember that you can always use our promo code BET975. Whenever you see an opportunity or they ask you for a promo code, when you get that promo code opportunity, put in BET975 and realize you can cash in immediately whether you haven't bet on a game or you have, because of the fact they're going to put extra money in your account for using that code. Therefore, more money in your account. More games you can bet on, more chances you can win. And if you don't want to get into any games, but you like casino, but you don't want to go to Vegas or drive to Louisiana, you can sit there right in the courtesy and comfort of your own home, or you can be using your phone, and you can do the same thing. Go to mybookie.ag, live dealer standing by for blackjack and all kinds of games like poker and so much more. And basically, it's the best place to have all the worlds collide with you having the opportunity to bet on sports, play casino games, and you don't have to do anything but just use your knowledge and let it ride. It's all a fun, good time, and it's the weekend. It's the best time to do it. It's the best online sports book and casino. It's mybookie.ag. And remember our promo code BET975, as I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Oh, it's time for mean text. Car wreck of the day. All of the things that, all the mean things that you said to us or others throughout the week. Best segment of the week, according to some. Someone earlier said, we're terrible, where's the wheelhouse? One's writing for Houston football, I think 999. One's doing Texas Unfiltered.
Yeah.
What's that?
And Austin. Went up in price?
Is it $9.99 or $7.99?
That was $7.99. I have no idea.
I don't know how much it is. He gave me his sub for free. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't do that. I don't think he ever liked me. One is in Austin doing Texas Unfiltered or something like that.
Yeah, Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Texas Sports. I've been on with him once. And then the other's in New York. The Asman is in New York.
Running his Jets thing, and
he's on every now and then on ESPN Radio. Someone texted earlier this week that he was he came on after us one day.
Yeah,
last week.
That's happened several times. He's filling in for ESPN National, and it happens to carry over.
He fills in for Mad Dog sometimes.
Does he?
Yeah.
So that's where the wheelhouse is at. Hope we answered your question. Joe George getting his own show and bashing on y'all like he's something. It's kind of mean, like saying that Joe George is not something. Joe George is something. Mm-hmm. He's something. He's a host of the Killer G's, the host of the Gag Show from noon to three.
Something doesn't necessarily mean he has to be good, but he's something.
Joe's good.
He's got at least three things going really well for him right now.
He's got a gym membership.
Yeah, I mean,
and other things besides a gym membership.
There are big things going on in his life.
That's right.
Including big gym things. Memberships.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. No. I think he's right for saying that. I think it's right for saying that his gym membership is right on line with his family.
Family or just his kid?
Did he not mention his wife?
No, he did. Oh. That's what I noted.
He did not. The big three.
Did not mention the wife.
The baby.
Because
the baby,
the wife, you don't have the kid.
And gym membership.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not something. Maybe that texture was right. Kidding.
There you go.
Keith, we had Schwab on the other day, which came with a lot of attention. Michael Schwab did. A lot of haters of one Michael Schwab. Saying, what does this guy know? But Keith said, Astros Twitter is the worst. What do you think of Astros Twitter?
It's entertaining.
I like Astros Twitter. I'm a fan of Astros Twitter. They are very volatile.
Yo, for sure.
A volatile community.
So is Rockets Twitter.
I think that's Twitter in general.
But I think exactly. That, yeah, you find the entertainment in it, but you
got to also catch yourself and hopefully don't take it too seriously all the time in terms of the accuracy of some of the stuff, because it's coming from a place of fandemonium.
Yeah, I think it's very important to take it with a grain of salt. If you're not willing to take advice from some random Twitter person, don't take the criticism of one Twitter person as well. You have to weed it out. You have to have your own little filter, I guess. This one's from Largo, I think. Largo's a volume shooter. Largo is not very efficient. Largo is the kind of guy that will take 50 shots and score 20 points and be like, well, look at me, I'm a 20-point scorer. Look at me, I average 20 a game. Yeah, but you're taking 50 shots a game. You're a volume joker. You say a lot of volume things to try to get one or two things on mean text. Now, sometimes you hit, like this one. Talking into the mic turned PC into an 8-time Ozempic gold medalist.
Wow.
That was Largo that said that. Not me. I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger here. That was a good line. 8-time Ozempic gold medalist. I wouldn't mind a little Ozempic, though, to drop about 25 pounds.
Does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what all the stars in Hollywood are doing right now.
I've heard that.
No, it works. I don't think it's healthy for you.
No, it's not meant for weight loss. It's meant for people with diabetes, but people have kind of hijacked it and used it for weight loss.
Yeah. What's all's well that ends well?
Why isn't it healthy if it's helped people?
Well, I think it like ruins your stomach or something. Do you know the science behind it?
I don't know.
I think it like it suppresses things in your metabolism that like are kind of needed for like a healthy person.
Yeah.
Now, if it's like life or death and diabetes, like you got no other choice. But like for a naturally healthy person doing it, I think it's kind of silly.
Well, some people that I've heard, including one that I'm not going to name because I'll get killed for it, but that said that once you're, but it's good while you're taking it, but the minute you take it, everything gain all the weight back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know. Alex saying Buff Branham on the comeback. No, Fat Branham is here to stay. Call sponsored by Cricket Wireless. That was when Kelly was...
Oh, yeah. Kelly Eco.
Yep. That's the other day. This was kind of a compliment. First time I ever busted out laughing during one of y'all's silly games. Like, it's a compliment, but it's also like a...
Backhanded
compliment, because
you don't normally find humor in the stuff we are trying to be funny with.
Yeah, it means we're only funny once. What was you're calling segment? Our game silly. I don't remember.
I don't remember which game it was.
I don't remember which game it was either. And then last
I think
one
it was one of the Astros opponent, or
it might have been.
Yeah, I don't remember which one though.
Would have been the last one.
Yeah, it would have been the last one. Whatever we did on Tuesday. Oh, it was the Rocky one.
Yeah, it was the Rocky one. And then somebody said 97.5 signals greater than Branham's hockey knowledge. I have great hockey knowledge. You must be saying good things about our signal. All right, does it for us. Vinyl Voices coming up at 7. Hall of Fame, that fraud Booker T and Brad Gilmore, and then Comicast at 9. You catch Space Cowboys over at 7:05 on 92.5. That does it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brad. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday.